Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Philadelphia police and law enforcement searching for several suspects who broke into a home yesterday in Philadelphia, holding a family inside at gunpoint. So they say the thieves got away with 19 grand in cash, 25 grand worth of jewelry, along with five iPhones from a home on the 3200 block of Cottman Ave. This is in the Mayfair section of Philadelphia. So they are saying that this family was traumatized. Police say four men broke into the house in the wee hours of yesterday morning. The men in their 20s, 30s, wearing ski masks, and one man wore a green coat while the others wore black. That's the best description we have. But they say the intruders held the family of five in their home at gunpoint, including a 15-year-old boy, 25-year-old woman, 29-year-old man, 55-year-old woman, and a 61-year-old man. So as they're searching for these masked, you know, gunmen, they're trying to track them down. But a very disturbing situation for sure. They are also looking at all the surveillance, you know, everybody's Ring doorbells, that kind of thing, to look at the cameras to see if they can get these guys a getaway vehicle, etc. Why they targeted this family in particular, we don't have that information.
I don't know about you guys, but when I was 29 or 25 in my home, I never had $19,000 in cash in my house, nor did I have 25 grand in jewelry. Just pointing out those tidbits.
Well,
there.
25 grand in jewelry is...
Is that nothing?
No.
Really?
It's not. No.
Yeah. I've got a wedding band worth about 82 bucks. That's about it.
No, my neighbors were burglarized. And you know what they go after? Men who have maybe expensive watches, or they know that they inherited grandpa's, you know, the grandfather's watch or whatever.
Yeah.
Men's jewelry is, believe it or not, number one over women's.
The only person I've ever heard of having 19 grand in cash in their house was Fonnie Willis.
No, I think that I don't have the information, but I suspect that this could be somebody who owns, maybe they own a business.
Oh.
Do a cash business. I don't know.
I was thinking maybe drug dealers, but.
But they're, I mean, it sounds like it's a mom and dad. They have, you know, and they have three adult age, you know, eight adult age children.
Mm. Okay.
Except they have a 15-year-old. So I don't know.
All right.
I mean, there's nothing nefarious. They called the police. Police felt for the victims here. I don't have anything. You know what I mean? I don't have anything like that, Nick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At all. But we'll continue to follow it for sure. We do have this story of health officials in Montgomery County, and this is a huge story for our region as we've been talking about these measles outbreaks. So when we left you on Friday, we had the case in Bergen County, New Jersey. We know that we had a deadly case in Texas. A child in Texas died from the complications of measles. That was Texas. It was an unvaccinated child. First time in the nation in a decade that we heard or have reported such a thing. But in this case in Montgomery County, the headline here is this is an unvaccinated child who traveled outside the country, came back to Montgomery County, and unfortunately went to two different pediatric, you know, doctor's visits, one at Children's Hospital, CHOP, but the one in KOP. So they're releasing some new information where the Office of Public Health saying that the case involves this unvaccinated child who lives here in America. They're not releasing the child's hometown, however, but they're doing the contact tracing. That's what's underway today because of people who may have been exposed. They're all being contacted.
Yeah.
So we know that, for example, they traveled and they're giving the timeline out. They traveled the China Airlines airport shuttle bus. It departed JFK Terminal 4, arriving at North Philadelphia. And so that was between the dates of February 25th to February 26th. So that's one of them. Then we have True North Pediatrics. That's on Walton Road in Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania.
I know exactly where it's at.
Yeah, you too. I mean, Michael Lifeguards on Walton Road at that community center right there, GPCC.
Yep.
So it's not so far from, if you know, Plymouth Meeting Mall. But for anybody, the real concern, and then obviously on the 26th, was the CHOP KOP, the emergency department.
Yep.
So what they're asking is if you suspect, you know, that you or your child, you know, you're getting sick or you were exposed, mostly unvaccinated people or maybe somebody with a baby. They're coming for a well visit. Their child might be too young to have had the MMR. I mean, Montgomery County, I was looking up the rates. I think there's a 95%+ vaccination rate.
Of course.
You know, in Monco. So that's the good news that most people. But if you have a baby or a newborn and you happen to be at CHOP or your pediatrician's office, you know, for that early well visit, that's the concern.
I know RFK Jr. posted something over the weekend saying he was basically urging people to be vaccinated for the measles. I don't know historically what his stance has been specifically on the measles vaccine. I just find it interesting that he's getting a lot of flack for some of these little pockets of outbreaks, whether it's Montgomery County. I think last week you might have had the story of the kids in Texas where there was an outbreak of measles.
And so, a death.
Yeah. So pre-HHS role, this was not Bobby Kennedy's fault. But now that he's the head of Health and Human Services, it is Bobby Kennedy's fault. Okay.
Well, all I can say is, like you're saying, he came out, he is speaking a lot about fluoride lately, but as far as the MMR vaccine, it's been around forever and, you know, for a very long time, it's effective. You can always talk to your pediatrician, split up the
What do you think that vaccination rate is across the country for the MMR vaccines? Probably in the 90 percentile rate.
Yeah, I mean, but, Monco and the suburbs there, 95%. So, this is the individual, this is an unvaccinated child. Were they too young or did their family choose not to?
Right. Is it a religious thing?
We actually don't know. The child, I mean, maybe it's a very young child and they weren't. Usually when you travel internationally, you have to have had all your vaccinations.
Well, you have to have that vaccine to go to like preschool and kindergarten, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But if you're with a stay-at-home parent or homeschooled.
Okay.
Not so much.
Yep.
So they won't release these details so that, you know, we can all do the guesswork. But the bottom line is they want to make, you know, especially somebody who went to that not even the CHOP emergency room, because usually they would separate a baby out. But there could have been a well visit. And I think that's what they're very concerned about with a newborn. Just updating you on a case that obviously made huge news here in Pennsylvania. That's where the arrest of Luigi Mangione was made. Now defense attorney for the man who's obviously charged with the killing of CEO of United Healthcare, insisting that a police search and arrest inside that Pennsylvania McDonald's last year, that it was all illegal, unconstitutional. So that's what the defense team is going with. This is the accused killer of Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare. So Mangione, remember this, was arrested in Altoona, Pennsylvania, after that 5-day manhunt for the suspect in that fatal shooting that happened just outside a New York City hotel, happened December 4th. So now we're seeing in the court filings that the defense team is saying that Mangione was never properly read his rights.
Oh, the Miranda rights.
And yeah, so in this one, they claim that officers from the Altoona Police Department continued to interrogate and question their client without any reading of his Miranda rights. So the defense team says that Mangione was never given an answer as to why the officers approached him in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going through this on a constitutional argument.
Well, good luck with that. I mean, do cops make mistakes and have a brain dead moment? For sure. I just find it hard to believe that a cop would, in this high profile of a situation, would not say you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, a court will be able to appoint one for you. But you're grasping at straws. That's my gut.
Yeah, hopefully they have body camera.
Right.
That more police officers are happy for the body cameras.
Indeed.
So I know that we'll perhaps talk about the Oscars, maybe not, but it was Neon's Anora and filmmaker Sean Baker. This was a $6 million meager budget. Big winners at the 97th Academy Awards, taking 5 trophies, including Best Picture, Director, Original Screenplay, Editing, and Best Actress for Mikey Madison. She's 25, so she beat out Demi Moore, 62, mm-hmm. who was there last night. Everybody thought Demi Moore was going to get it. This unknown actress takes home that trophy.
Was there any social justice messaging? Did anybody give a speech on yes. abortion or transgender rights?
No, some documentary filmmaker came up and talked about ethnic cleansing happening.
Oh, ethnic cleansing?
Yeah.
So
I'm boy.
We also
I'm glad
have
I was at the dance studio.
We also have what's her name, KJ Smith. Who before the awards show says, due to the political climate, blacks as a whole should consider moving back to Africa.
Wow.
So, blacks as a whole should leave the country.
That's what she said. We'll play all that.
All right.
Sounds racist, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Adrian Brody, best actor for A24's The Brutalist, which, by the way, was based in Bucks County, the yeah. Wills town.
Wow.
And Adrian Brody, remember him from, he won back in the day, like more than 20 years ago
mm-hmm.
for the piano player movie, World War II. If you ever saw that one, it was an amazing movie.
Okay.
But he just wouldn't get off the stage. It's kind of like me in news right now. Just kept talking and talking. So we'll get into it. The movie that won, the reason that it will be controversial because maybe nobody saw it, it's about a sex worker. My husband and I tried to watch it. It is like X-rated.
Is it nice. Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
My kind of flick.
Yeah, me too.
So, you know, the fact that the other films weren't Conclave, didn't see on there, or even the Reagan movie, you know, didn't even, like, get anything. So, but this sex worker show.
I have to take a look at this once my wife takes the girls to dance.
Gosh. Yeah, you don't want your girls anywhere near... even your teenager, it could be embarrassing.
Hey, so are they gone? Did the girls leave? I didn't get my laptop.
The forecast, look, it's chilly today with a high of just 40 degrees, but bright sunny skies today. We begin a warm-up. We're in the 20s. It feels like it's in the teens. The warm-up begins big time with tomorrow 56 degrees and sunny. Then by Wednesday 62, but with some possibly severe storms moving through. And the rest of the week looks mild in the 50s. We'll round out the week in the 50s with sunshine. So once we get through today, below normal temperatures will pop up above normal starting tomorrow. And like I said, we're sponsored by Kitchen Magic this morning. Make magic happen with Kitchen Magic. Their experts are going to guide you every step of the way, from free in-home design consultations to top-notch installation. Right now, enjoy 40% off installation. Yeah, 40% off the cost of installation. Visit KitchenMagic.com. Do this today, KitchenMagic.com. Thank you for sponsoring First Edition, Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. We had fireworks on Friday between Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and Vladimir Zelensky. We will get to an American-Ukraine big take when we come back to kick off the week here on Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Which is brought to you by First Bank, Friday Fireworks. If you are America First, anti-war, and a Donald Trump supporter, I think you went into the weekend feeling great about your president and about your country. As Trump's meeting with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky turned into an epic argument for all of the world to see. Things started out, though, very cordial as Trump met Zelensky outside on Friday. Listen and watch this.
He's all dressed up today.
President Trump, what's your message to Vladimir Putin, sir? President Trump.
Thank you very much.
All dressed up and still not wearing a suit. Even John Fetterman wore a suit when he was sworn in as a senator for Picture Day 2 years ago. Now, I'm not a suit guy, but I'm also not the president of a country who is begging for more money and weapons. So here's an idea, Zelensky. Wear a suit, show some gratitude. Maybe turn down magazine cover photo shoots. And don't step foot in my state again campaigning with Governor Josh Shapiro on behalf of Kamala Harris. Speaking of Josh from Abington, the Gov tweeted on Saturday, quote, Pennsylvania is the proud home to over 150,000 Ukrainian and Ukrainian-American people. Some have planted roots here for generations, and tens of thousands are here to find safety after fleeing Vladimir Putin's aggression. When the president and the vice president attacked President Zelensky today, they served to undermine the safety and security of America and our national security interests, end quote. Stop it, Shapiro. Enough of the nonsense. That little munchkin Zelensky has been free-rolling on our tax dollars for over 3 years. And I don't want to hear any more about Putin being evil. Yet today's also Monday. We already know that. And that's not to say that you are against Ukrainian civilians or those Ukrainian Americans or those with Ukrainian blood here in Pennsylvania. But this war needs to end, and our involvement and our resources need to dry up immediately. This conversation between Trump and Zelensky lasted roughly 50 minutes. And for the first 40 or so, it was very civil. But then things got testy between Trump and Zelensky. Here's Trump putting this smug little stooge in his place. Listen and watch.
Your country is in big trouble.
Can I ask?
Wait a minute. No, no. You've done a lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning.
I know.
You're not winning this. You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks in this cabinet, and not only in this cabinet.
We gave you, through this stupid president, $350 billion.
You voted for your
president. We gave you military equipment, and you men are brave, but they had to use our military.
What about your speaking?
If you didn't have our military equipment, if you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. That's right. Ukraine, Zelensky, and all of their people, they are dependent upon us, America. You're not going to come in here and flex on Trump and Vance when you're the one begging us for your survival. You want to know how I know that Trump owned the day and is not to blame for the debacle on live TV? Because not only are Democrats, the media, defense contractors, and warmongers are mad, but somehow Lindsey Graham loved what Trump was able to do. And Lindsey Graham would love nothing more than to have more war and start blowing things up. Here's the Republican senator from South Carolina praising Trump and how he wants the war to end. Imagine that. Here's Lindsey after Friday's SmackDown. Listen and watch.
Somebody asked me, am I embarrassed about Trump? I have never been more proud of the president. I was very proud of J.D. Vance. Standing up for our country. We want to be helpful. What I saw in the Oval Office was disrespectful, and I don't know if we can ever do business with Zelensky again. I think most Americans saw a guy that they would not want to go in business with. The way he handled the meeting, the way he confronted the president, was just over the top.
Lindsey Graham is no MAGA ride-or-die politician. So that's all you need to know about the blame game from Friday's Donnybrook. America is calling the shots. America is in charge, and Trump's the boss. Not Biden, not Harris, not Shapiro, or any other uniparty globalist. You saw strong leadership. And those things probably take place behind closed doors. Now everybody's in their feelings of, oh, that wasn't very presidential. Yet where have you been for the last 9 years? It's not Trump's style. Trump is also not interested in the media what-if game. Listen and watch this.
What if Russia breaks his talks? What do you do then? I understand that it's a heated conversation right now.
What are you saying?
She's asking, what if Russia breaks the ceasefire?
What if anything? What if a bomb drops on your head right now? Okay? What if they broke it? I don't know. They broke it with Biden because Biden, they didn't respect him. They didn't respect Obama. They respect me.
The fear-mongering never ends. That's the only card that the media and the Democrats have left. What if this? What if that? The disrespect would go even further as the meeting played out. Here's J.D. Vance on the receiving end of an alleged slur or expletive from Zelensky. Listen and watch this.
You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring people, you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems?
It appears that Zelensky muttered the four-letter word spelled C-Y-K-A, which according to online dictionaries and translations is reportedly the equivalent of the B word in Ukraine and or Russian language. That according to translations from Kyle Becker. Here was Trump in the aftermath heading home for the weekend. Listen and watch.
What does Zelensky need to do to restart talks with you?
He's got to say, I want to make peace. He doesn't have to stand there and say about Putin this, Putin that, all negative things. He's got to say, I want to make peace. I don't want to fight a war any longer. His people are dying. He doesn't have the cards, just so you understand it, okay?
Here's my final opinion and judgment on what I witnessed on Sunday. I watched the full 50 minutes of it late Sunday morning. Trump and Vance didn't go into this meeting to ambush Zelensky. Trump wanted to get this minerals deal done, right? Trump was cordial. If you watch the full clip, it was 35 to 40 minutes of a relatively normal, mundane conversation. He wanted to get a deal done. Then Zelensky decides to posture and put on a production and a performance. He starts spouting off, which led to Trump dropping the hammer on him. And Zelensky was the aggressor. He was the one that was talking at a mile a minute. Zelensky has zero leverage in this situation. He has no bargaining power, and he damn sure isn't going to punk Trump and Vance in their own building. I thought this was also a lesson to Pam Bondi, in my opinion. This wiped out the Epstein files disaster right out of the news cycle. And Trump just held court to all of his appointees, not even just Pam Bondi. This is how we will operate, through strength, take no prisoners, and make sure you get the better end of the deal. Hopefully Pam Bondi and others were paying attention. And do you know how much foreign aid America gave to Ukraine during the Biden administration? $175 billion. That according to Fox News research. So far, the Trump administration has given nothing, zero. And guess what? I voted for that, as did millions more. And the support for Ukraine dwindling by the hour. And it needs to stay that way, in my opinion. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by First Bank. If you're ready to drive your business success off the charts, well, then choose a trusted local partner. Count on First Bank for personalized support and small solutions to help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. 855-839-1210. If you would like to jump in from the biggest story of the last couple of days, which transpired on late Friday morning. Dawn Stensland, get your thoughts. I'm not sure if this, did this actually occur in your show or was this post show? Either way, your thoughts.
No, it happened after my show on Friday, but I was actually still here. So I was, Dom Giordano was on and I actually like banged on the glass that's in between like Greg and I, because Dan was, you know, doing the Dom show at that point.
Yeah.
My show was over.
Right.
And I'm like pointing up because I'm listening to this going, holy smokes. Like this is, you know what I mean? And so then they turned that around. And so I watched the whole thing live.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you watch the entire, the episode live, and even so during my show was just ending when you saw, because Zelensky was running later, and so they thought that they were going to say something at 11, but he arrived. So you see him arrive, Trump greets him, and that's how that began. So they've set this up. We now know from Marco Rubio, from Secretary Rubio, that in fact they could have done this deal. They could have signed the whole thing. They could have signed 5 days prior to Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done it on Monday.
Yeah.
So why didn't they? Why did Zelensky want to come to the White House? Trump greets him outside. They gives a thumbs up. They go in. And so at this point, to me, if I'm Zelensky, I think that he started the war of words. He was disrespectful. Even we heard that, in fact, the White House that requested that he wear a suit.
Mm-hmm.
He did not. He was defiant. He was not going to wear a suit and tie.
He said he wouldn't wear it until the war's over.
So Trump, whatever. I mean, the White House, you're in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
You're visiting a country that has given you a ton of money,
yeah,
right? And you basically start a war of... So what did Trump do about the suit?
Did Elon Musk wear a suit?
No. And he looks like a schlub, too. I've said that.
What did Trump say? He said he looks... He praised him. He gave him a compliment.
Well, why is it so hard for any of these people to dress the part, whether it's Fetterman, Elon Musk, or Zelensky? Like, they, like, just throw on a stinking suit, right? And you guys know me. You know, I had, like, this schlubby suit at Piazza in December because I got too fat and I couldn't fit into my good one, so I had to use the adjustable waistband on those pants that Dawn, you called out. Like, I'm no Brooks Brothers model, right? All right? That's never going to happen. You know, I'm lucky to get into a Joseph A. Bank and get out of there at a half-decent rate. But for the love of God, dude, this guy looks like he just crawled out of a trash can after getting $175 billion. Elon Musk, you've got more money than you know what to do with. Can you at least wear a button-up? You don't need the tie necessarily. Throw on a blazer,
but think
for God's
Trump.
Sakes.
I mean, Trump says, "Oh, you look fabulous." He looks fabulous. He is the entire time, I think, being gracious. They're supposed to get this deal done. To me, I think why? Why wouldn't you mend this situation and just move on?
Yeah.
So now they've shelved the thing. Trump was on Truth Social explaining the whole thing, and then even this morning, now the latest that we see as far as this goes is that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth ordering U.S. Cyber Command to halt offensive cyber ops and info ops against Russia.
Yeah.
So that's the latest with Hegseth. To me, they need to get past this. My whole question is, if you go to the country, you're going to sign it. Why not just, you're about to sign the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you start agitating?
Yeah, well, this day in the media, of course, are like, oh, Trump did this. This was all plotted. This was professional wrestling.
No.
I'm thinking if there was one person that was doing it with the intent of trying to create a spectacle to send
Vance.
A message, you think Vance?
I mean, he's the one who started yelling.
To me, Zelensky...
No, but Zelensky was the one who interrupted.
Yeah.
If you watch the whole thing,
as he sounds like Patrick Mahomes. He sounds like Kermit the Frog.
If you watch the whole thing uninterrupted, what happens is there's a reporter question.
Here, then cut four, Phil. Cut four,
Zelensky says he jumps into this.
We have it. Cut four, Phil.
Does Phil not have it?
No, he has it.
I already mentioned Poland. Poland was under Russian control for decades after the Second World War. When I was a kid, I looked at the United States not only as a most powerful country, richest country in the world, the country that has great music, great movies, great muscle cars, but also as a force for good. And now I'm talking with my friends in Poland, and they are worried that you align yourself too much.
Come on, dude, land the plane.
What's your message for them?
Well, if I didn't align myself with both of them, you'd never have a deal. You want me to say really terrible things about Putin and then say, "Hi, Vladimir, how are we doing on the deal?" That doesn't work that way. I'm not aligned with Putin. I'm not aligned with anybody. I'm aligned with the United States of America and for the good of the world. I'm aligned with the world. And I want to get this thing over with. You see the hatred he's got for Putin. It's very tough for me to make a deal with that kind of hate. He's got tremendous hatred. And I understand that. But I can tell you the other side isn't exactly in love with, you know, him either. So it's not a question of alignment. I'm aligned with the world. I want to get the thing set. I'm aligned with Europe. I want to see if we can get this thing done. You want me to be tough? I could be tougher than any human being you've ever seen. I'd be so tough. But you're never going to get a deal that way. So that's the way it goes. All right, one more question. Yeah, please.
Hey, I'm going to respond to this. So look, for 4 years in the United States of America, we had a president who stood up at press conferences and talked tough about Vladimir Putin. And then Putin invaded Ukraine and destroyed a significant chunk of the country. The path to peace and the path to prosperity is maybe engaging in diplomacy. We tried the pathway of Joe Biden of thumping our chest and pretending that the President of the United States' words mattered more than the President of the United States' actions. What makes America a good country is America engaging in diplomacy. That's what President Trump is doing.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So he occupied our parts, big parts of Ukraine, parts of East and Crimea. So he occupied it on 2014. So during a lot of years, so I'm not speaking about just Biden, but those time was Obama, then President Obama, then President Trump, then President Biden, now President Trump, and God bless, now President Trump will stop him. But during 2014, nobody stopped him. He just occupied and took. He killed people. You know what the contact line?
2015.
2014.
Well, 2014.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was not here.
Yeah, but
that's exactly
but,
right.
Yes, but during 2014 till 2022, yeah, the same. Well, the situation the same. The people have been dying on the contact line. Nobody stopped him. You know that we had conversations with him, a lot of conversations, my bilateral conversation, and we signed with him, me, like a new president. In 2019, I signed with him the deal. I signed with him, Macron and Merkel, we signed ceasefire. Ceasefire, all of them told me that he will never go. We signed him gas contract. Gas contract. Yes, but after that, he broken this ceasefire. He killed our people, and he didn't exchange prisoners. We signed the exchange of prisoners, but he didn't do it. What kind of diplomacy, JD, you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy.
And then JD Vance,
right?
You know, comes out of.
Well, I mean,
so he's obviously bringing up what happened in 2014. Russia invaded Crimea. And I get it that the Ukrainian people deserve something. They deserve justice. But to bring up the Obama administration, no, he knows he's bringing up the Obama administration, which included Biden. Now he's bringing up more recently Biden. And basically what he's saying is, hey, we signed something before. They ignored it during the Biden administration. They invade again. And so they've screwed us every time.
Yeah. So who should he be thankful to? Trump. Okay, because you have Putin violates a ceasefire in 2014, 2015. Who's president? Obama. Who invaded Ukraine in 2022? Russia. Who was the president? Biden. Did any of this happen during the first Trump administration, sandwiched between Biden and Obama? The answer is no. So, I mean, the reality is this guy has no ground to stand on. His country would be demolished if it wasn't for us. Zelensky, in all likelihood, is dead today. So take what you're getting, what the offer is from Trump, and be grateful, because without the United States' assistance, your country is Gaza right now. It's rubble. It's dust. You're done. Done. It's over. Russia's the big bad bully. Ukraine is small. You look at the Middle East, you look at Israel. Super powerful Gaza, Hamas, ragtag operation. What happens when global powers typically get together? The United States, whether it's with Israel or with Russia, they typically have a little more leverage, and it's the opinion of many that, oh, America's in bed with Israel, which, okay, you want to argue that they are? I won't deny that. But we've already debunked the fact that Trump's not in bed with Putin, with Russia. The Russia hoax has been exposed for exactly what it is. So all of these nudniks that show up with their credentials every day and ask these dumbass questions about Trump and Russia, I'm so over it. You're running with debunked talking points from 8 years ago. Find new material. I mean, so basically what these people are saying is we would love to continue to have war. That's what apparently the Democrats want. That's what the media wants. You know, if Trump were to say today is Monday, they would say he's lying. If Trump is a Democrat and he got this peace deal brokered, you know what Trump would get for this? He'd get the Nobel Peace Prize. But for some reason, Trump's the bad actor in this. The guy who only wants to end the military-industrial complex, he's the bad guy. And we've also laid out Zelensky as well. I'm so tired of hearing it like he's the kid that's getting bullied in school. This dude has canceled elections with martial law.
Yeah,
he has censored his own people. Yeah. This guy is not freaking Pope whatever or Mother Teresa. Putin is definitely the worst of the two,
but
for sure.
But Zelensky knew and counted on the American media, the so-called legacy media. Zelensky counted on that.
Yes.
And they're not going to report, you know, on his defense minister, Rustam Umerov, you know, that little audit that we talked about a year ago.
Yeah.
This is one of, and really before this situation, before the Russian invasion, we talked in the headlines all the time that this was known as one of the most corrupt countries. And so the corruption issue is there. And so that, I think, leads many to believe that what Zelensky wanted was not to end the war. I mean, that's not what he's saying. He did put out on social media that he, you know, is grateful and he thanks the American people and he thanks for. But the truth is, this guy does have a corruption problem.
Yeah.
So it's a bad look to go to the White House, seemingly, you know, act in a disrespectful manner.
Well, and he's
the current
administration. He's not stupid. He knows if he gets Trump to become aggressive and have that comment like he had about, you know, if it wasn't for us and the $350 billion, you'd be done in 2 weeks. He knows the American media will run with Trump was unpresidential in open public setting, blibbity blobbity blue. Like, Zelensky's not that stupid. So he knows the way the American media will cover Trump after that.
Why do we pick and choose what areas we want peace in? You know what I mean? Like why?
I want peace everywhere.
If we want to get out of all foreign entanglements, I'm fine with that.
Yes.
But where are we with Israel and Hamas? Just curious.
To me, you know?
How much money are we going to send over there? How many blank checks are we going to send over there? Just
stop it.
Just asking. You know what I mean?
How much
of this are we going to keep funding? If the line in the sand is drawn at Ukraine, fine. But then we need to stop writing blank checks everywhere.
I agree,
including Israel.
Yes, I want. I've been very clear. I am exactly like.
But we pick and choose.
No.
Not you. I'm not talking about you.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the United States. We pick and choose what countries we want to support and what countries we don't.
Yeah,
but
I'm fine if we don't want to support Ukraine.
But apples and oranges. I mean, there are still hostages being held. By the way. In Israel, which is a key ally in the Middle East.
There's occupied, there's parts of Ukraine that are being occupied. There's people dying every day there, too. You can't go down one road and not say that it's not happening in the Middle East because it 100% is.
I mean, to me, it's 0, 4, and 8 across the board. To me, Israel.
So then we're just going to stop everything.
I would argue that Israel is.
Trump is trying to stop. He is trying to bring forth peace in both places.
Wouldn't you say, though,
that Israel. He didn't get us into this mess. He's trying to get us out of it.
Israel is far more equipped to deal with terrorism than Ukraine is to deal with Russia. We would all agree with that, right?
Sure.
I mean, Israel's got a lot of money. They've got the best technology.
Because of us.
Right, and now that we've provided that, let's get out. Because that is, now you could sit here and talk about the history of Russia-Ukraine, but the history of Russia-Ukraine does not go back as far as Israel and the Middle East. Those two have been fighting since the beginning of civilization, right?
So, well, except post-World War, I mean, look, everybody agreed post-World War II and Hitler. That's what created this, right? And so that's why many of the countries surrounding that region hate the United States of America, albeit everybody in the world made that pact and decided that the survivors of the Holocaust, that they would, they would have Israel.
Right.
And so Trump didn't create that. The United States alone didn't create that. That's the way it is.
But we also
Trump is just trying to bring forth peace in a world and a situation that he did not create.
We have to stop believing the line that Shapiro uttered in his tweet about protecting our national security. I'm going to break it to everybody out there, Republican or Democrat, political or not political. Our national security is not in danger based on what happens to these other little ragtag nations and their sovereignty.
Let me ask you a question then. So where does it stop? All right. So this war is unwinnable for Ukraine.
Correct.
It's unwinnable.
Correct.
I mean, there's no question in my mind. Everybody knows that.
And all they do is hold on based off of our assistance.
So the best thing for Zelensky is to make a deal.
Correct.
I agree with that 100% because he has nothing. He has nothing right now. So then what's the alternative? Okay, so Putin then takes Ukraine. So, like, when do we step in? Like, what if Putin decides to take Poland next?
Where's Europe?
What if China decides to take Taiwan? Where do we decide?
Putin is not going to touch a NATO country.
Where are these other bordering nations?
He's not.
Sure he won't.
Why? Look how far away we are. You know, Trump says there's a big, beautiful body of water that separates us from them, right?
Yeah.
Let the rest of these European nations crank out $350 billion.
And I disagree.
At least when they do, they're smart about it. They're loans.
Yeah.
They're getting that back plus interest.
Agreed.
We just give it away like it's a grant.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. 855-839-1210, the phone number. Yeah, this whole thing with our national security, that's code for we can't let the war machine dry up. We got to keep feeding these defense contractors, Lockheed Martin and all these other companies that just make profit at the expense of 18-year-old men who go over and get their face blown off.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's no way to win this, like, unless we send troops over there and help them. But by the way, then that foreign policy that we've had forever, you know, when it was Iraq and Kuwait,
yep.
When it was, you know, like, then we have to just say that we're not going to get involved in any of this anymore and let the world figure it out themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm fine with that, but we can't pick and choose what countries we support and what countries we don't.
I was blown away by Lindsey Graham of all
Yeah,
people.
We kind of can and we kind of do, Greg. I mean,
but it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like, well Lindsey Graham's another phony. 8B, Phil. This is, and I know we have to break. I know you played that clip of him, yeah, talking tough, but here was him on February 14th. Roll this.
I want to tell you and your people, you're the ally I've been hoping for all my life. Not one American has died defending Ukraine. You've taken our weapons and you've kicked their ass. And I'm very proud to have you as our ally.
And I don't know if we can ever do business with Zelensky again. I think
14 days later,
Americans saw a guy that they would not want to go in business with.
Yep.
The way he handled the meeting.
He's such a phony little
confronted
the America, yeah. There's no question.
Over the top. So I think
I'm going to talk tough now.
Now,
shut up, you dummy. Shut up.
Well, in Graham's defense, 14 days later, Zelensky's in there spouting off disrespecting the hand that's feeding him.
Yeah, but it's not like this whole disrespecting thing. Like Biden complained about it in 2022. You know, there was an NBC News report about how Biden, was like, dude, you need to be more respectful or you need to be more gracious, I think was the word.
Yep.
So like this has been a thing for years here with this guy. It's just that this played out on TV.
Yep.
Where most of these situations
are behind closed
doors. That's the only difference. These these tense back and forths happen all the time in these type of meetings. It's just this one played out on TV. That's the only difference.
That the media is the and my I have to say Michael, my son, who's so into all of this, was the one who pointed out to me. He said, "Mom, you're always talking about the media. Why was Russian state media allowed in the Oval Office to ask that question? And is that part of this?" And so it's a great question. There were reports that somehow the Russian state media snuck into the Oval. I seriously doubt they snuck in because I don't think anybody sneaks into the Oval Office.
No.
So the question is, why was the Russian state media allowed in the Oval Office? And they were one of that. That was one of the questions that became incendiary.
Well, the Russians get access and the Associated Press doesn't. Times have changed. 855-839-1210. Dawn's news to kick off hour two. And then I've got two different sets of polling numbers to go to. Frank Luntz on the Republican side has some Ukraine polling that I want to share. And then also Harry Enten from Saturday. So this was post-blow-up on CNN with updated numbers on where America is at with this conflict and our involvement between Russia and Ukraine. We'll continue that and then wrap up this conversation after the news. Hour two is next on Kale & Company.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.